What we see depends mainly on what we look for. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. What we see depends mainly on what we look for. You're going for a party. Are you going to have a good time?
Sure.
Depends on you. If you're going for a good time, you'll have a good time. Now, what if everybody else there is dead, you know, is nothing? Will you have a good time?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm alive and I put some music on and I dance and I have a ball.
That's one way of looking at it. What Ellen is saying here is she's going to manipulate the party into being a beautiful party because she is there and she's having a ball, you know. Is that the way it works, really?
Yes.
Do we go there and put the music on and manipulate it so that it's a good party because we're there?
Yes.
Now, that sounds good. That sounds positive. But stop and think. What do you really do? What we see depends mainly on what we look for. Are we looking for a good time? Then we'll have a good time, music or no music, dancing or no dancing. You know, many times you have gone to activities, or you've gone shopping, or you've gone visiting with friends or what have you, and you just went there and everything was just normal. The people you talked to were people you expected to talk to. And then all of a sudden, you looked over across the room and there was a little baby playing in the crib. And you thought to yourself, well, isn't that beautiful? So you forget the crowd that you're sharing with, and you walk across the room and you look at the little critter in the in the crib, and you say, well, aren't you a little genius? You're just super kid. And the little kid looks up at you with his unfocused near vision, and he says, yes, you're right. You see, when you were far away, he could see you very clearly, because children have far vision late into their early months, you know. Well, he's looking at you and seeing your fuzzy face up there. He doesn't know whether it's mommy or daddy or Uncle George or Aunt Mary. He can't tell, but he knows that it's a friendly face. He feels the friendly vibrations. And so, and if he doesn't, you'll hear it. If he doesn't feel friendly vibrations coming toward him, he puts up a catawalan that would raise the dead. But when he feels a friendly face coming toward him, you know what he does? He smiles and he coos and he says, hi, in his own language. We haven't learned it, but it's his own language. And you stand there talking to the kid, and pretty soon a crowd gathers around you. And everybody is looking at this little angel and thinking to themselves, oh, if my kids only behaved like that. If my kids were just as beautiful as that. And you're seeing what you went there to look for. You were with a group of people having a great conversation, but then you saw this angel, and you couldn't ignore it. You had to go over and share. You had to go over and say hi. You had to go and give it your love and give it all your good feelings. And when you did that, what happened to you? You had a great time. What we see depends mainly on what we look for. Now, the mother comes over. Hey-ho. The mother comes over, says, give me the baby, please. And you're thinking to yourself, huh, why? Oh, the mother knows why. And she says, I'll be back in a few minutes. And she takes the baby out and takes off his sealed diapers. Don't let the odor come through, but mommy knows. And changes the kid and washes his bottom, gets them all presentable again, puts on another sealed diaper, and brings him back and says, here you are. He wanted some attention, and but now he's all set for you guys again. And so she passes him around, everybody. And everybody goes from that party not expecting to say they spent the evening with the baby, but to say they were going to be with friends and chat and do whatever they're going to do. But this was sort of an added prize, an added surprise to be with the baby. But you go and you find what you look for. Now, do you think everybody was delighted with the baby? No. There were a lot of people who went there for other reasons. And because the baby had distracted the attention of the people, the other reasons weren't fulfilled. Now, some young men went there to meet some young girls. And the young girls and young men were there, but the girls were just all gathered up around the baby. And if the guys didn't show some interest in the baby, the girls didn't show some interest in them. And the girls went there to just have a good time, to be themselves and be whatever nature called upon them to be a loving mother type character or auntie character or whatever. And the boys, they went there wanting to get ready to be a father and get ready to present to the world these little angels. They had no intention of letting a little angel distract them, but it so happened. Now, what did they expect to find there? I will tell you. They went to that party expecting to find resistance to their amours. They wanted to find some girls to love and play with and have fun with, and they knew they were going to get resistance. They didn't know why, they just knew it. Well, did they get resistance? Yeah. They got what they expected. Did the girls expect to have a good time? Do girls just chit-chat and do things, whatever turns them on? And they don't even care. And if there's a bunch of good-looking men there, oh, they are aware of them, but they're not going to let the good-looking men know that they're aware of them. That's not the part of playing coy and playing cool as a girl. But everyone plays the game that they expect to play. Now, why is it that so often the boys have a difficult time in having relationships with girls? Boys have a difficult time in having relationships with girls because boys have never taken the time to understand girls. How do girls think and how do they operate? How do boys think and how do they operate? Oh, you can be sure the girls discuss among themselves how those boys think and how they operate, because the girls got their number from A to Z. But the boys, they didn't do them. If they're not in their sports, they're into their schoolwork or whatever else they're into. And the last thing is just the momentary fling with the girl. Some boys get hung up pretty heavy, like Matsumo. I think they were 12 years old when he and Mariella first had the light glimmer between them, not glimmer, flooding between them. And they just had to wait for maturity. But they knew they were for each other from that early age because they had tuned on. Now, I rather doubt that Matsumo had a lot of girlfriends, if any. And I doubt that Mariella had a lot of boyfriends, if any. Although I don't think Mariella was ignorant of the fact. So, what did Mariella spend her time with in preparation for her marriage from the years of 12 years old? She prepared herself to be a mother. She learned what it is to be a wife, what it is to be a mother, what it is to be a lover. She learned all those things to give them to her marriage. Now, a lot of young people learn many things, not to give to the marriage, but just to make them a little more fulfilled in their relationships with people. But we all get what we plan on. Now, let me ask a biased question here, and let's see if we can have a biased answer. Of all the married couples you have ever met, Ellen, who would you say were the happiest married couple that you have ever met? You have to think about it. My God, Mariella and Matsumo are perhaps the most contented couple. They do not get on each other's back as far as we can see. They have five beautiful children. She goes to her activities. He goes to his activities. He is gone sometimes a week at a time with projects that he's working on. He stays in other cities sometimes nights or weeks because he's working on projects. And not once does she question him. Not once does she create him doing something contrary to their marriage, nor does she. He sees his wife as the most fabulous woman on earth, the most gentle, caring, loving woman on earth. Wow, you know. And whatever they see, that's what they get. They have created for themselves an ideal marriage. Now, that they have problems or that they don't always agree, if they all agreed, that would not be a good marriage either. But Mariella was in the kitchen taking care of some cabinets that were being installed. And her husband came in and says, I don't like that cabinet. I don't like that cabinet. And she says, that's okay. She says, that's what I have planned for. And you have, of course, no idea what I'm going to use it for yet. And I can't explain it to you either. But I have a vision that I'm going to have a use for it. And so the cabinet people put it in, did a nice job, very professional, very secure, very secure set of cabinets. And it just makes the kitchen dining area into a totally different center, you know. And I think she got a double refrigerator too, didn't she? A big old refrigerator she puts in the other end of the cabinets there. But she's making her house into a house that she can raise the children and have a good time. But you see, she raises those children by herself. Her husband has nothing to do with them. He will come home after a hard day's work, and of each of the five children, he'll take approximately an hour and spend it with them on their homework. But I mean, that's not much quality time, is it? Would any family love it if the father did that? But that's not all. After doing that, then he takes the kids out for sports events. As they are learning hockey, playing hockey, as they are playing volleyball, as they are playing whatever sports they choose to play, tennis and stuff, he's right there with them, and so is Mama. And Mama's not to be sneezed at as far as the tennis player goes. But I would thoroughly recommend that the parents train the children in any other game but soccer. But soccer is the most fun. Well, unfortunately, we don't know about it, but it's true. Most of the soccer players have this soccer ball coming at their head at 70 miles an hour and wet and soggy, which is quite a missile. And they get up there and they hit it with their head. And many of them get concussions and they get brain damage. And I think they lose their memory, they get dizzy, and they do a lot of other things. And that's just a prelude, because then they continue doing that, you know, especially the professional players. And you don't hear about the professional players after they leave the field, because they have lost.
They disappear.
They disappear because they've lost their memory, they've lost their brain, they have destroyed themselves very seriously. And nobody's doing anything about it. Now they're talking about giving them light helmets to wear, but of course the light helmet doesn't do anything when you have that missile coming at your head 70 miles an hour. Can you imagine if you were sitting still and a car came at you at 70 miles an hour and hit you, what would happen? Shazam, you know? So you see, what we see and what we're looking at is what we're getting. Now, do these young people know that such damage is available to them through using their head in that rather strange way? No. Nobody tells them. Nobody tells them. But we have several health books, and in one of the health books it describes it very thoroughly and points it out, and points out how many people have been very seriously damaged by that. But now what are we going for? Are we going for the damaging, or are we going for the wholeness? You see, if you go like the boys to the party, just to find a girl for the night or something, you're not going to be too happy. You may do it, you may not do it. If you go to your volleyball or soccer game just to play the sport and get excited, like football, football is pretty rough too. Mm-hmm. And why are we encouraging this super, super, super violence? And it is super violence. Why are we encouraging that in our young people? And then when they go to war and they go and fight and they do other things, we think to ourselves, my gosh, where did they get all that? You know, where did they get this violence inside of them? And we teach it to them. We teach it to them in sports. And actually, these young children. We have them out playing football and soccer and so forth. And at the very age when their muscles are slowly building and they're extending and where the cartilage is coming into place in the proper way and many other things, we're making a bunch of dum-dums by doing that. But it's the fun of the game. It's the fun of the game. There are always people who will promote those things, always people who will promote them. And now let me tell you, what's the biggest church in San Diego? The stadium. Mm-hmm. 50,000 people or more, maybe 70, but 50,000 people come out every night that sports events are being held, big ones. 50,000 people interested in this. They buy season tickets at quite high prices. And for just a little seat among the 50,000 people, you know? And of course, they like the roaring and the shouting and the hot dogs and the popcorn and the peanuts and the other things go along with it. But 50,000 people. Now, could you ever get 50,000 people in a church? 5,000 maybe, you know, like Dr. Hornaday and Dr. Holmes. But 50,000, holy, that is quite something. Well, for what do you call it?
Traditional.
When you have these people who are evangelists who are going out, crusades, and they give their crusades, and then they have large people. But in Billy Graham's church every Sunday, I have no idea how large it is, but I would not imagine it to be over 1,000 people, you know. And I don't know, how much does the Crystal Cathedral hold? I think it's maybe a couple of thousand, you know. But there, the people don't go for the church. They go for the amusement. They go for the show. And that's unfortunate, but so be it. Now, that's what they expect people to want. Now, here you have all these people coming from the show. And as they come for the show, what are they going to hear? They're going to hear all about all these things. But what are they going to remember? They're going to remember the violinist or the soloist. Or they're going to remember the movie star who came and said, my life was saved because I found Jesus, you know. And great, that's super. But what will the people say? The movie star can do it, yeah, but I can't. You see, this is what we give to ourselves. And because what we see is what we should really be experiencing. But what are they saying when they go to that church? And I'm not knocking the church. I think it's wonderful. I'd love to speak there anytime. But what do they see? They see the drama, the show. Now, I question all of you after we see videos on fine movies. And I say, did you see this? Did you see this? Did you see this? No, we saw a lot of other things, but you didn't see that. You didn't see that because that was very subtle. That was very subtle, and perhaps that's the essence of what the movie was. But think about these things. Think about these things and how you react. What we see depends mainly on what we look for. What are we looking for? Ellen has been working on grants, and what she sees is the inability to have grants because everybody tells her grants are very difficult to come by. Everybody tells her grants are hard to create, hard to make. And I would say to Ellen, take yourself, all your grant material, and go out here to the Oasis and don't answer any phones, don't answer, and just do your thing and write it up. If you are going to be around other people who are saying, well, how are you coming with that? That's kind of a difficult project you took on. You're going to just be floored. You follow me? So if you ever do anything, for instance, people who write books, why do they go alone in their room? Why do painters lock their door? Why do these various people who are one-pointed and accomplish great things, why do they go alone? Because that's where the magic happens. The magic wants to come out, but What we see depends mainly on what we look for. And if we allow ourselves to be distracted, the magic isn't going to be born. So I say to you, what we see depends mainly on what we look for. And I recommend that each of us look for our highest and best. And we will see it, and we will have it, and it'll be done. I love you. I love you. I love you.